Just a short reading, if you turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 8. I want to read from Mark chapter 8 and from verse 34. Just a few verses for us to consider this evening. And after I read the word, I'm going to ask Catherine if she would again minister to us in song. And when Jesus had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We have already read from Mark chapter 8. And when we come to this part of Mark's gospel, to put it in the words of another, we are so near to the heart and center of the Christian faith and message that we must take it sentence by sentence, lest we miss the important content of these verses. Indeed, to quote further from another, it has been said that if each day a man could go out with only one of these phrases locked in his heart, and only one of these phrases dominating his life, it would be more than enough to be going on with. And the more I read these verses, and the more I listen to what Christ has to say, because as we've seen, he's the speaker, the more I am inclined to agree with the sentiments expressed in these quotations. And surely, following on from this, from all of this, we can see, I trust, we can catch the importance of what is presented to us here. That which initially should get our attention in all that Christ has to say is what I'm calling, to begin with, a desire that must be dominant. And here, of course, the overall theme is what it means to be a Christian. What will it mean for me to become a Christian? What will it demand of my life to become a follower of Christ? Spell it out to me in clear terms what it will mean for me to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I say that initially the very first thing that should catch our attention is something that Christ says of a desire that must be dominant. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, he delivers a message of universal application. And I believe in what he has to say, we are confronted with certain pointers that we do well to mark. That is, if we're asking that question, what will it mean for me to become a Christian? And that is, if we truly want to find the right answer, we do well to mark what Christ says. And when we read the opening sentence of Christ's statement, he says, if anyone, or whosoever will come after me. That's how he opens up this great statement. That's how he begins. And the first thing that we must acknowledge that here in what Christ has to say is a requirement to be found. And that requirement is included or wrapped up in the word will. And this word in the original language of the New Testament, it suggests desire. And I like that because that's really strong, isn't it? And we might legitimately and correctly read, if any man desires to be a follower of Christ. That's where Christ starts. And that's where we begin our thoughts this evening. Because I believe that right away we learn that if we truly want to be followers of Christ, then we must, more than anything and everything else, we must have a desire to really be a follower of Christ. Someone says that when you hear the preacher lapsing into his own personal testimony, his thoughts have dried up. I can assure you that they might dry up later on, but that's not the case. When I refer to the night when I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, way back there on the 27th of February 1967, I can recall vividly how that I had a burning desire above everything else and anything else to become a follower of Christ. I tell you this, it was the only thing that dominated my mind. It was the only thing that I could think of. It was the only thing that I could do. And that was to get to someone somewhere who could tell me how I could become a follower of Christ. You see, I was concerned. You see, I had what Christ says is required to be a follower of Christ. I had a desire. A very burning desire. Indeed, I might put it like this. That we must have such a strong sense of need to become followers of Christ to begin with. I say a need, it's not a notion that we need. Sometimes folk take a notion that it would be a good thing for them to profess faith in Christ. That it would be a good thing to seek after Christ, and it is a good thing to seek after Christ. But the point that I'm making this evening, or trying to establish in our thinking, is this. It is out of a sense of need, not motivated by some passing notion, that I become a follower of Christ. So Jesus here answers the question. And he sets before us the terms of discipleship, outlining that which is required, beginning with this initial requirement of a desire or a will. And I might be asking someone the question, and you've given it some thought about becoming a follower of Christ. And I address that question to you. I ask you, do you have a real desire? Is it that sense of deep desire that has brought you to this gospel meeting tonight? Isn't that desire that has compelled you to ask questions to someone about how? Because I believe here's where we begin. Step number one. In becoming a follower of Christ, our requirement is that we have a desire, that we have the will to become followers of Christ. And then following on from that, I believe we need to see or look at a reality to be faced. A reality to be faced. And that reality that I have in my mind and that I want us to think about is that by nature, none of us have this desire. By nature, none of us have this desire to become followers of Christ. In fact, God's word very clearly confirms this. Because let me quote to you from the word of God. Here's what God says, there is none that seeketh after God. And you see, that puts it very clear. That causes us to see the reality of our hearts and of our minds, of our lives. And the reality is that we have no desire to seek after God. That is, that man in his natural state, left to himself, will never have that longing, that desire after God, to have a sin dealt with and to be brought into a right relationship with God. The truth is, in fact, the opposite. That's the reality that we need to face up to. And I think surely that we've only got to look at the society of men today. And when we do exactly that, I believe that it is as it always has been. And that is that we find clear and abundant evidence of the fact that left to himself, the individual has no desire to know God. Moreover, this becomes more obvious to my mind with the passing of time. I'm sure my wife is sick, sore, and tired of me saying the same thing almost every Lord's Day morning. In fact, I'll let you into a secret. She has told me she is. I'm driving along to church on a Sunday morning, and I see folk going out for walks in the park. Oh, yes, they're all together there with the family. It's happy families. Or they're taking their dog out on the village green for a walk. And they're going out on their bicycles, and they're going out jogging, and they're doing everything under the sun, but few there are who are going to church. And I'll say, isn't it terrible? So many people with no desire to seek after God. That's why I say that in our modern society today, this is extremely evident, that there is none that seeketh after God, left to themselves in their natural fallen state. But let me personalize all of this. And let me ask you perhaps, albeit an awkward question, you don't need to answer it publicly. What in reality do we find when we examine our own heart? Maybe you have heard the claims of the gospel many times. I'm sure you have. Maybe a friend, a member of the family, has witnessed to you about saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have not responded, and the answer to your lack of response is simply that when you honestly look into your heart tonight, you find that there is simply an unwillingness to yield to Christ. There is absolutely no desire to follow Christ. And we ask the question, why is that? And maybe as we next move to our second thought this evening, maybe it's because in what Christ has to say, in order that the individual might become a follower of Christ, there is a denial that is demanded. Maybe there's the answer as to why you're not saved. Why that is you're not a follower of Christ. Because there is a denial that is demanded. Jesus is simply saying to us, here are my terms. If anyone wishes to come to and follow after me as one of my disciples, listen to Christ, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And therein is the crunch. Well, maybe Christ will make it a wee bit easier for me, you think. No. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You see, because of human fallen nature, I speak to many men and women and young people who may wish to come to Christ, but on their own terms. And here the Lord makes it abundantly clear that we simply cannot do that. That is simply an impossibility. It is God who lays down the way that we may, and that we must come to him through Christ. I want us to think just briefly on the challenge of this. My, that is a challenge, isn't it? Let him deny himself. You see, I keep repeating, that goes against human nature. It's not easy for you or for me to to deny ourselves. Let him deny himself. That is, the individual who truly desires to follow Christ must once and for all be prepared to say farewell to old self. That is, the old self as it is apart from regenerating grace, sinful self, and all that that means. And when we think about it, what we really are being faced with here and called to is nothing other than repentance. And sadly, sometimes there is a gospel preached that does not include this aspect of coming to Christ. Sadly, sometimes repentance is overlooked. And yet here the Lord is underscoring it for us. Repentance, without which we can never be saved. Apart from which we can simply not even begin to follow Christ. You see, if you're to become a follower of Christ, there's got to be that turning from and that denouncing and denying of everything that is part of your sinful nature, friend. It also implies a giving up of all reliance on whatever we are, or could ever be, or hope to be. It is a case of nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. When we come to Christ, we must come absolutely emptied of self. We must come prepared to face the challenge of denying ourselves. The person who would follow Christ turns away in dismay from every thought or habit that is patently sinful. It is an abandoning of all these things, and to be like Paul, to be able to say, such things that once were gain to me, precious to me, I counted them loss that I might gain Christ. You see, that's where the rubber hits the road, isn't it? And maybe you're saying, well, you know, I would really love to be a Christian. Would you? I would really long to be like some of the other young people in the church, followers of Christ, would you? What hinders you? And it might be that here at this part of Christ's great statement, we are seeing exactly why you're not a Christian. Because there's maybe someone or something that you are not willing to turn away from and count loss that you might gain Christ. I can remember many years ago in the work of the gospel, I was conducting a gospel mission, and one evening two young ladies came to be counseled for salvation. And I said, well, you know, we don't come to Christ in bulk. I'll deal with you and then I'll deal with you. You sit where you are and you listen. And I dealt with the first young woman. She trusted Christ. Almost sincerely, she trusted Christ. She became a follower of Christ. She had a lot to give up. She had a lot to say farewell to. She had a lot of repentance to do. But willingly, because she had a desire, she said, I come to Christ and I leave all of my sinful past. And she did. I then turned to the other young woman. I said, now, let me deal with you. Where are you in your thinking? She said, before you go any further, Pastor, I have a dinner dance to go to on Friday night and I'll come back next week to the mission. I'll trust Christ. I never saw that young woman again. I've made inquiries from time to time. Do you know the news is she never trusted Christ? She wasn't willing to turn away from the things of the world. She wasn't willing to count all that she treasured by way of pleasure and count such loss that she might gain Christ. But these are the terms. Very clearly, these are the terms. And Jesus makes them abundantly clear to us. I understand that in the days of the Second World War, I don't know much about the Second World War, but I understand from reading that when Churchill took over the leadership of our country, all that he offered to his men under him in a famous speech was, and I quote him, blood, sweat, and tears. He was honest with those men. And they knew that when they were entering into his leadership, they knew what they were committing themselves to. Blood, sweat, and tears. And I think that it would be my responsibility to underscore for you that if you become a follower of Christ, that you enter into this relationship fully understanding and with utmost appreciation that there's going to be a challenge. You've got to deny yourself. You've got to turn away from everything of the old life that you might gain Christ. There's the challenge of this. Of course, it's a challenge. There's the cost of this. Take up his cross and follow me. Yes, it will cost. It costs to become a Christian. And the underlying figure in these words is that of the condemned man who was compelled to take up the cross and carry it to the place of execution. That's the underlying thought there in what Christ says. But we must understand that there is indeed a great difference in that we look at the convict, the criminal, and he does so under duress. But the one who really wants to be a follower after Christ does so willingly, readily. He's willing to be identified with Christ. He accepts readily and gratefully the pain, the shame, the persecution that may be his. And he begins and keeps on following after Christ. My friend, this is what it means to be a Christian. This is what it really means to be a follower of Christ. And yet here it is that many stumble. Not willing to surrender their hearts. Not willing to, yes, surrender their wills to Christ. So in all that Christ has to say, we find a desire that must be dominant. Have you that real burning desire? Then we find a denial that is demanded. Are you willing to pay the price? There is a cost. Or will you be like that young man that we call the rich young ruler who came, he ran to Jesus out of breath, he throws himself down at the feet of Jesus and he says, good master, what must I do that I might inherit eternal life? And Jesus gave him the terms. But we read in the scriptures that he went away sorrowfully, for he wasn't willing to face the cost. It'll cost you to be a follower of Christ. You'd have to say farewell to the old life, and you'd have to go out and tell your pals, I'm on the side of Christ. I know it's dangerous, but there's another thought comes from my own personal experience that I want to share in this connection. I think I'm right in saying one of the earliest places that I witnessed for Christ was on the shop floor in Bridgeport Brass here in this, city. And I remember looking up an old pal of mine. I got permission to go on the shop floor to where he was working and I said, Jim, I've become a Christian. He laughed at me. He said, you're joking. I said, Jim, look at me. Watch my lips. I've become a Christian. I didn't find it easy. He laughed at me. And I heard him laughing at me as I went to the car. But I took my stand. You see, it costs. a denial that is demanded. But finally, there is a detail that is declared in all of this. There are certain things, someone has said, which are lost by being kept and saved by being used. Quite honestly, I can never figure that one out. That is until I come to the Scripture. That is until I apply this to what Christ says. Because all of this is confirmed in verse 35. And what we learn from this verse is, I realize, contradictory to man's presumption, what Jesus is referring to here is that whoever is willing to lose, or whoever is willing to abandon life as it is lived without Christ, whoever is willing to give up, to forfeit those things which may have been precious to them, those things which they may have had an appetite for, an association with, for the sake of knowing Christ. Now remember, on his terms, Jesus said, will in fact lose nothing, but rather make gain. Now, as I say, this contradicts what man thinks, and what the enemy of the souls of men may very well be saying to someone just now. But what Jesus said is truth. If we give up our lives as we know them for the sake of Christ, the devil will tell us, oh, you'll lose out so much. You'll miss so much. But Jesus says, no, rather you'll gain. I speak from experience that this is so true. For what we're being taught here is clearly that when man holds on to the old life, the sinful life, it will bring to him loss, and I mean eternal loss. Irreparable, irretrievable loss. And I'm bound to ask you in this connection, are you holding on to that, to those things that will one day bring you to unimaginable loss and hell itself? What Christ is to say is not only contradictory to man's presumption, but it's confirmation of God's promise. It's confirmation of God's promise to you if you trust him, if you become a follower of Christ. Listen again to the words of Christ. But whoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's shall save it. And these words are consistent with what Jesus said on another occasion. I give unto them eternal life, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. In Christ, you may find life. Apart from Christ, you will surely find loss. You know, at the table this morning, I thought to myself, and I thank God for this, and just this evening, these thoughts came flooding back to my memory. I said, Lord, I thank you that through your death I find life for my death. For we're dead in trespasses and in sin. But when we come to the one who died on that cross, who gave his life on that cross that we might live, when we come to him, we gain that life that he is willing to give for the death that we're now dying in our natural unregenerate state. What an exchange. I read in Deuteronomy 30 and 19 these words, I have set before you the way of life and death. Choose life. Choose life. Become a follower of Christ, the life giver. On his terms, be prepared to come and to say, nothing in my hand I bring. I leave it all behind, Lord, because I have that burning desire to become a follower of Christ tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that here your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, sets before us and in the clearest of terms what it means to become a follower of his. Father, we do pray that having had these brought before us again, for those who perhaps have thought about it, considered it, contemplated on becoming a follower of Christ, and yet have never started out, never taken that step in repentance from their past, their sinful lives, and faith in Christ, that Father, by your grace and your mercy, you would enable them to do that, and to do that just now. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Amen.